that becoming a Christian involves both these things, the heart in man and the answer of the tongue. Is that not true? In Hebrews 12, verse 3, we read about the contradiction of sinners that our Lord experienced against himself. And we are, by nature, opposed to the Lord Jesus. We contradict the word of the truth of the gospel. Left to ourselves, we are unbelievers in our hearts and in all our talk. Nothing for Christ at all. But when the Lord begins to work in us, what happens? Romans 10, verse 10. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you see, this is of the Lord. This is what he produces. With the heart, we believe in God's provision of righteousness, it means here. Jesus Christ, whose blood and righteousness justify us before God and put us right with God. With the heart, we believe on him. We receive him as our salvation. And he puts us right with God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. No one can become a real Christian and not say it. Tell people. The mouth, the tongue, the answer of the tongue. I've been saved. The Lord is now my Savior. And the friends on Saturday at their baptism are going to say this, aren't they? They will probably make a verbal testimony. And the answer of the tongue will express the workings of their heart, that they believe in and love the Lord Jesus, and they say so in their testimony. And in passing through the waters of baptism, they will show that in this gospel ordinance. And that is a very blessed thing, and may the Lord bless them. The inward response and the outward expression. But where does it come from? The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. They did not convert themselves. We did not convert ourselves. And yet, we sought the Lord. And we, out of our felt guilt and fear of judgment, sought the Lord Jesus. And we turned from our sins. And we trusted the Savior. And he became ours. We did that. The heart was changed. Then we came to the point where we could confess the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And we thought we were doing it all that time. And we thought that we had become a Christian, when all the while is from the Lord. You see, he prepared our heart, didn't he? The scripture says, Ezekiel 36, verse 26, a new heart will I give them, and a new spirit will I put within them. It's a divine miracle of grace that he changes our hearts, so that the heart of stone, which is hard and cold and has nothing for God, is taken out and a heart of flesh is given. It's a picture of saying that we have a new set of affections and we have a new set of beliefs and a new desire, love, all in a Godward direction. And the Lord Jesus becomes our treasure as we receive him as our Savior. It's a heart matter. And the ability to honestly say now, I'm a Christian. The Lord has blessed me in this way. Come and hear what the Lord has done for my soul. And when we are able at times to witness, perhaps on a personal level, and share the gospel with people, and people look at us in wide-eyed wonder, and who knew us before perhaps when we were not Christians, and we are a wonder unto many. The preparations of the heart, the answer of the tongue, it's from the Lord. It wasn't us. It was the Lord. Remember Lydia, Acts 16? Whose heart the Lord opened. And then she said, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Well, that's from the Lord. It's a miracle. And if you are not a Christian this evening, your hope is not in anything you can do to make yourself a Christian. Your hope is in the grace of God that makes people Christians. And anything in your heart and anything you'll end up saying, it will be from the Lord. And look away from yourselves and look to the Lord alone, who can give the new birth from heaven and who can change you, who can take away your stony heart and who can melt you, who can rid you of your unbelief and can turn you into a believer, who can change your whole position before God from an unbelieving sinner ripe for judgment to one who is reconciled to him, justified, right with God. The Lord can do it. Look to him and pray to him. You say, well, I can't do anything. I've never felt able to do anything. My dear friend, you can bend your knee in prayer, can you not? You can get down at your bedside tonight and tell the Lord all about your inability. Tell him about your hard heart and the struggle with unbelief. Tell him about the difficulties you have with the gospel and with the Bible and with all these things. Tell him about it all and be honest before God. And you think he will turn you away? John 6, verse 37. Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. It's so beautifully simple. To come as we are, in all our confusedness, ignorance, all the tussle that we feel inside, all the felt unworthiness, all the feeling of wanting to keep away and yet knowing we must come, all this battle with the world and the world that shouts to us and says, there's nothing in this, it's all rubbish, what are you doing taking this seriously? All that spirit of the age coming in upon you, tell him about it all. But get alone with him, and he will not turn you away. You'll find that there will be a work of God in your heart. The preparations of the heart is of the Lord. You'll find that even as you're speaking to him in prayer, the answer of the tongue, it'll be the Lord drawing you out in prayer. It'll be God's work. It'll be you who'll be doing it. But he is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? It's all of grace. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace, that is God's undeserved and loving gift and working in you, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can't say we've done it all. We can't say we've done any of it. It's not our work. It's God's work. And every Christian here this evening would say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Well, didn't you have a change in your heart? Yes, but that was of the Lord. Do you not now say that you believe and you're a Christian and you testify to these things? But that is of the Lord. You give him all the glory. And that's where your hope is, dear unconverted friend. In the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, then come to him for it. It's a free gift. And he does not put any conditions upon it. He doesn't want any payment for it. He doesn't require any preparation on your part or for you to look to anything that will give you warrant. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you pray for it? Will you pray for it? Will you not let another Sabbath day go by and come to an end without settling this matter before the God of all grace? the God of all grace, because the preparations of the heart, the answer of the tongue, it's from the Lord. It can come to you and be yours. But you know, prayer doesn't save us, but nobody is saved without prayer. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's the scripture promise. That's the word of the truth in the gospel. Now, am I a real Christian? Am I a real Christian? Well, what is your heart like? And God knows it. Are you truly changed regarding your sin and the justice of God, which guarantees that sinners shall be punished and shall go to hell? Have you experienced a change of heart? It's interesting that in Luke 7 and verse 29, we read of certain ones there who justified God. And that simply means that they have undergone a change of heart whereby they believe now that what God says about them is true, justifying him. I am a sinner in his sight. I am guilty of innumerable sins and iniquities and transgressions. I've broken his holy law countless times. I've never had a pure thought in my life. I've never done a single right thing that's pleasing to God all my days, justifying God's verdict on me. I deserve to go to everlasting hell. I deserve to be punished in the eternal fire as a monument to his justice. I deserve it, justifying God. If your heart experiences these things, you see, that's real religion. If you say these things, justifying God, it's from the Lord. It's his work. My, what a thing it takes, doesn't it, to get us to say the right things. Some of us, before we were converted, we would say things like, well, I'm not that bad, or I'm not as bad as others, or I've done some things good, or I do this or I do that. And our hearts are all wrong, and the answer of our tongue is all wrong. And what does it take for us to feel rightly and speak rightly? It takes that miracle of converting grace. It's of the Lord. But if you're a real Christian, if you're really converted, your heart and your tongue will match and agree. And what you feel about yourself and what you say of the Lord Jesus will match. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. And I say it feelingly. I believe it with all my heart. And I say it with all the sincerity that God has given me. Faith is called the operation of God. It's of the Lord to feel like this and to speak like this. That's becoming a Christian. Have you known that? Is this how you feel about yourself? Undergone a tremendous convulsive change within. And then the precious words that we can hear from your lips. I believe the Lord has saved me. It was said of John Wesley, wasn't it, when he was at that little meeting in Aldersgate Street in London. He was there as a very self-righteous, moral, religious man. And he heard that reading from Luther's preface to his commentary on Romans. And as he sat listening, the Lord used it. And he said, my heart was strangely warmed. And I was able to say that I believed that the Lord had saved me. I had received the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus was my Savior. My, he wouldn't have said that before. He would have been very, very vocal and very, very earnest in terms of his own attainments and good works and religious beliefs and all that kind of thing. Ah, The grace of God humbles us. The grace of God changes us within and changes, and even our tongue gets converted, dear friends. And we speak differently. We speak of Christ, and we speak of a Savior. We speak of his precious blood that he shed on Calvary, and we say, he is my salvation and all my desire. This is what it is to become a Christian. Oh, may the Lord work in you and draw you, and may you come, and may you find Christ, because he finds you, even today and even this evening. He is willing to receive you, and may he give you willingness to come. Secondly, in being a Christian, it's the same principle. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Just as true. Isn't it so, dear friends, that such is our corruption within as born-again believers, remaining sin is such a problem to us that we find that we need that precious comfort of Philippians 2, verse 13, where we're told to work out our own salvation, not work for our salvation, work it out with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The inclining work made willing, the enabling work, grace to do it. And we need that. And Wesley's hymn is true, isn't it? Can you concur with this? We cannot think a gracious thought. We cannot feel a good desire till thou who callst a world from naught, that grace into our hearts inspire. There's no good thing in us at all. There's nothing natural that comes from us that is for the pleasure and glory of God. All we can bring forth is sin and more sin left to ourselves. But thank God, we've not only got this remaining sin, but we've got superior grace and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And he prepares our hearts for good things. And he enables our speech to reflect those good things. The Church of England has a collect. And how true these words are. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed. We acknowledge that if anything good is in us, Isaiah 26 verse 12, Lord, thou hast wrought all our works in us. It applies to times when we are led to do good things. In Nehemiah 2 and verse 12, as governor of Jerusalem, he went to the elders there and he shared with them what God had put in his heart to do for Jerusalem. It's the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue. Paul could write in Philippians 1 verse 7 to the saints at Philippi, he says, I have you in my heart. His heart was for them, and he told them so with his tongue through his epistle. And there's something for us. It's a very great blessing in Christian fellowship, you know, if the Lord has put someone upon your heart to pray for, to feel a special concern for, tell them so. And say, I believe the Lord has laid you on my heart. I'm praying for you every day. It's a great comfort when someone hears that from you. And what is that but the preparation of the heart, the answer of the tongue? It's of the Lord. You wouldn't do it if you didn't mean it, if it wasn't true. But you see, this is the nature of Christian fellowship, isn't it? It touches us very much when Christians come up to us in various places They say, I'm praying for your Sunday school. I feel led to pray for your church in Hollywell and various aspects of family life and that kind of thing. And we think to ourselves, well, why did they do that? It was the Lord who put it in their heart and caused them to say those things. And it can be like a messenger from God. It can be very particularly when someone comes up to you and squeezes you on the arm and you feel just about as bad and as wretched as you could possibly feel. And that certain person says, I'm praying for you. You're on our hearts. The Lord is with you. And then it's just like the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's as if the Lord himself did it. It's a beautiful thing. You see, being a Christian, in Christian fellowship, we can be such a blessing to others, can't we? What about prayer? Apply it to prayer. Oh, prayer is difficult. Sometimes in my quiet time you say, I struggle to get going. I feel as if it's a great weight to bring myself into the presence of God and to believe he's there listening to me, to see the Lord Jesus as the mediator and come in his dear name and enjoy the access. Oh, it's hard to realize. But did you know that all real prayer is but God preparing your heart and enabling you to open your mouth, either verbally or silently? Because in Psalm 10 and verse 17, you have this precious word. And what an encouragement that is. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. And when we find that we are helped in prayer, it's the Lord who's disposing the heart, working in the heart, and that same Lord has his ears open to our prayers. What a beautiful thing that is. We must draw near. We must seek his face. But as we do, we find we're given the ability in our hearts. And we feel that we're drawn, don't we? And the Lord who commands is the Lord who enables in prayer. And he hears us in our cries. And what a blessing that is. The Holy Spirit draws, the Word encourages, and we then find a liberty, don't we? It's a struggle at first, but it becomes freer as time goes on. And sometimes it becomes very free. Have you known those times? All too rare, unfortunately. Have you known those times when you've had a struggle, but then you've persevered, and then the Lord has drawn you, and then you find you're drawn out and out and out in your praying, and you've got a liberty, and you're at the throne of grace, and you're telling him all your heart, and praising him, and asking for things boldly and believingly, and you lose sight of time. And by the time you've finished, you realize, I didn't realize so much time had gone by. Eternity has taken over, as it were. Well, this is the Lord, you see. It's the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue that we make by our praying. This is real religion. And oh, that we had more of it, dear friends. Don't give up praying. Don't slacken praying because it's difficult. Because you never know those times when the Lord will sovereignly work. And you'll find that you'll get airborne and you'll fly in prayer and it'll be blessed and it'll be so wonderful. Sometimes, applying it in a different way, sometimes the Lord applies this word in people who are touched in such a way as they do us good, even materially. And I must share this with you. This is a true story of something that actually happened, believe it or not. We know of a family, father and mother, four children, dear Christian people. At the time that this happened, the children were small. They lived in a semi-detached house of three bedrooms, and lively four young children. You can imagine the squeeze and the difficulty. But there they were, very happy Christian family. Lovely atmosphere of peace and love in the home. Almost next door, in grounds of its own, stood a large seven-bedroomed Regency property. And in that property lived a husband and a wife, both solicitors, quite well placed financially. And there they were rattling around in this seven-bedroom great house and three reception rooms and tremendous space and so on. And the woman often visited this Christian home and was impressed at the atmosphere in the home. She'd never known anything like it. She and her husband, unbelievers, their children had grown up and now were away, and they were by themselves, and oh, how impressed she was with what she found in this home, and how she envied it, how she wished it could be hers. And so one day she made a proposition to the couple, the Christian couple, and she said, this is silly. We're here in this great house on our own, all this space, and you, dear family, are here in your home, only just about fitting in. And we find such a lovely spirit in your house. Why don't we do a swap? And why don't you have our house? And we'll have your house. You see, we've not really known much family life. We sent our children to boarding school and things. We neglected them. We put our careers first. And everything was us, and the children just grew up and they've married and gone away now, and they hardly ever come to see us. It's just us two left. We wish we'd done what you're doing. So anyway, legal arrangements were made and there was a swap. And this Christian family found themselves in this marvelous property. And of course they gave more hospitality than ever, and the Lord's people came in and were loved and accommodated and at the table and so on. They used it wholly for the Lord and they were so blessed. And this other couple in this, what was their former home. But you know what? They found that when they settled into the Christian's home, it was as cold and as unloving as their home had been. And they hadn't taken into account the fact that it's the people that make the home, not the building. But this couple, this family, were so blessed in this home. And it turned out eventually that the grown-up family of this couple turned against the Christian couple for what had been done, but it couldn't be reversed. It was there. Now, why did that happen? You say, "Oh, they were lucky." That's luck has got nothing to do with it. The preparations of the heart and the answer of the tongue, it's of the Lord. And that word preparations in the margin is disposings. The Lord disposed the hearts of this ungodly couple to make this swap for the sake of his people. Isn't that marvelous? The hearts of all people are in his hand. He can do as he wants. He can turn them whichever way he pleases. And he can make wonderful things like that happen. Now, it's not for us to expect that this will happen to us all. Otherwise, we'll all be in Georgian mansions. But sometimes it pleases the Lord in his sovereignty to do this. And that is a remarkable thing. Margaret and I have been in that house, that big house, many times. And we've seen the Lord, the evidence of the Lord's goodness. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. You never know what the Lord will do for you. He's got your highest interest on his heart, and he can dispose the hearts and the words of others in your favor when it pleases him. How about applying it in this way? How people are going to reply to us. Now that's the thing, isn't it? You've got a job interview. And what reply are you going to hear from the person who interviews you. The disposings of the heart, the answer of the tongue, from the Lord. God can open doors, but he can close them as well. And negative providences are still providences. Don't be too disappointed if you didn't get the job. If you were meant to get the job, you would have had it. The Lord would have disposed the person that way. Keep trying. See how the Lord leads. But you see, it's all with him, isn't it? Because these things come about according to his will and not according to people's will. The story is told, and it's a true one, in the life of Hudson Taylor. You may have read this. But when Hudson Taylor felt called to China, he did some medical training with a certain Dr. Hardy in Hull in Yorkshire. And he worked for Dr. Hardy, but Dr. Hardy was very absent-minded. And he kept forgetting to pay Hudson Taylor his salary. And Friday would come around and there'd be no salary mentioned. And Hudson Taylor thought to himself, if I'm going to live by faith in China one day, then I'm going to have to learn to pray that the Lord will move men's hearts to be the instruments of his provision for me. I'm not going to remind Dr. Hardy myself. I'm going to pray that the Lord will remind Dr. Hardy. Now again, this is not necessarily right for everybody, but in his case, it was an exercise of faith. Friday was coming up again, and by this time he had almost nothing left. And it came to the critical time, just as they were going home on Friday. And Hudson Taylor had nothing for breakfast next day, no money to buy anything. And he prayed that the Lord would dispose Dr. Hardy's heart to mention the salary. And then, lo and behold, just as they were leaving, he said, "Oh, by the way, Taylor," he said, "your salary is due, isn't it?" "Yes," he said. "Oh, I wish you'd have mentioned it earlier, but I've taken all the money to the bank. I've got no money to pay you." Ah, there's a test of faith. And then one of his patients came along, wanted to see Dr. Hardy a minute, went and saw to him. And then Dr. Hardy came in chuckling to himself. He said, "Well, would you believe it? One of my patients has just turned up and he's paid his bill. Most unlikely, most unusual, but he's just come at this right time so I can give you your salary now." And so Hudson Taylor rejoiced and his faith was vindicated. It's a lesson in faith, you see. The disposings of the heart in man, the answer of the tongue, is from the Lord. We can pray about these things, can't we? We knew what it was to experience that ourselves when we moved to Holywell. In Devizes, we had a manse. In Holywell, God made it possible through his providence to purchase a house of our own, smaller than what we had in Devizes, but it would be our own because the church in Holywell didn't have a manse. So we had to venture on this new experience. There was one house we fell in love with, only one. The last of a whole pile of brochures that we'd looked at and been viewing properties for 2 days and more, and nothing came of it. But this was the last one. And as soon as we walked in the door, we said to each other, "This is it." But oh my, the price. It was more than we could afford. And the estate agent said, "Well, they're considering offers over a certain amount. And they've not given in. They've not come down for anybody. You can try," she said, "and you might be lucky." But anyway, we viewed it. And the couple kindly received us and showed us all around. And we became absolutely convinced this was the Lord's provision. It was only 5 minutes' walk from the church, near the town. It was perfect. A lovely home for us with our four small children. And so we spent the time praying about it. The arrangement was that on that particular Thursday evening, we would come to view the house once again when both were there, the husband and the wife. But we had the afternoon free, and so we gave ourselves to prayer. And I quoted this verse, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is of the Lord." And we pleaded that if it was the Lord's will, that he would dispose their hearts to agree to our offer, which was significantly lower than what they'd ever considered, and that the answer of the tongue would be a yes. Didn't look likely humanly. But then things don't look likely humanly, do they? When we're talking about answers to prayer and God's blessing. So we pleaded this, and then we went to see the property and looked around it again. Lovely, you know. And then we sat down and chatted together. I took a deep breath and I said, "Well, the highest we can go is," and I stated the figure. And they looked at each other, and one said to the other, "Well, if you're in agreement, I'm all right with that." And it was absolutely amazing. The preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue was of the Lord. And if ever we needed confirmation that God had called us to Holywell, then we'd had it. But you can do that, you see, because God does work in people's hearts. And God does move people to feel, to decide and to say according to his will. And how wonderful it is to prove the Lord, dear friends, at such times. What a wonderful thing it is, isn't it, to be a Christian. The adventure of the Christian life. When we are shut up sometimes to the Lord's will, we can't see clearly, and yet we can pray our way through and seek God particularly and specifically over things and ask for definite answers to prayer. It might seem impossible, but God is not in the business of dealing with probable or likely things, but impossible things. And that's how he's glorified in the special blessings he gives. Being a Christian, isn't it a most wonderful thing? The hearts of all men are in his hand, and the words that they speak subject to his sovereign will. We're not talking here about fatalism. People are not robots. They're not under such government that it's a cold control and fatalism. Human responsibility, human freedom is a real thing. And yet just as real is the sovereign working of God by that very human responsibility and freedom. It's a marvelous thing. We adore and bless the God who is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. May you know what it is to become a Christian. We invite you to venture and come and join us because it's a blessed thing. And may we prove it as Christians how blessed it is to know the Lord. And as the years go by, it is more and more blessed. Not easy, not always free of pain and affliction and trouble, but oh, we're safe in his hands and we're blessed in his love. And we would say there's no greater thing than belonging to the Lord, being a child of God, an heir of heaven, and walking with him through life and all the way to heaven itself. Amen.